Good morning. Welcome to the West Side. I'm Claire Neipert. Well, the state budget has arrived in the full legislature. The plan for the next 2 years looks quite different from the original proposal the governor put forth in February. District 23, which includes all of Chippewa County, most of Clark County, the northeast half of Dunn County, central and eastern Eau Claire County, and portions of Trempealeau, Jackson, Wood, and Marathon counties. Welcome back to the West Side, Senator Bernier.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Jeff Smith is a senator from the 31st District, which also includes Buffalo and Pepin counties, most of Pierce, Trempealeau, and Jackson counties, southern Dunn County, and western Eau Claire County. Senator Smith, good to have you along today.
I'm really glad to be here. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your comments and questions. Call 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. That's the word ideas@wpr.org. Well, I want to start off today with a discussion about the state budget. We'll eventually get into some item-by-item specifics of the budget as our conversation continues, but I'm wondering, what are your top two budget priorities for this biennium? Senator Smith, let's start with you.
Wow, that's down to two. We have so much that is involved in our state budget, but I would certainly start with K-12 education. We have an opportunity in this budget, I believe, to actually finally fix the, to finally fix the funding formula, and that doesn't appear to be happening, but we're still going to be making suggestions along the way here in the next week or two. And then I have really been pounding hard about broadband expansion, and I think we have also a great opportunity with the surplus that we have now discovered that we could really make a dent in rural broadband and connect people in rural Wisconsin. So those are really big, important issues to me.
Senator Bernier, let's now go to you. What are your two top priorities for the budget for this biennium?
Well, that's, since I served on Joint Finance, that's really hard a question to answer since the whole budget was a priority. I believe the mental health beds in the Chippewa Valley, and to assess where we're at as far as mental health. There was a homeless person recently passed in Eau Claire who had mental health issues, and homelessness, mental health, and drug and alcohol addiction are high priorities for me. I agree, transportation and broadband infrastructure is also important, but I'd point out that we will meet the two-thirds funding in the second year of the biennium, so that was an important goal for education.
Senator Bernier, you mentioned you're part of the Joint Finance Committee and you voted to pass the budget. Why is this a good budget for your constituents in the 23rd Senate District?
Well, I think really it invests in areas that we need to invest: transportation, broadband, infrastructure, mental health, the $15 million in grant funds for HSHS. So it hits a lot of targets. The challenge we had was recognizing that we have a lot of federal funding in our state that we wouldn't ordinarily have. And so trying to budget and foreseeing in the crystal ball where the governor was going to place his $2.5 billion was a bit of a challenge.
Senator Smith, as it stands now, what is your perspective on how this budget will affect the 31st Senate District?
Well, again, I'm really disappointed with the way the Joint Finance Committee approached K-12 education, Governor Evers' proposal by 90%, and put us at risk even of not gaining the federal funding that we should get. And I know that there's been a pinch in the past week that they think they're going to be hitting that target, as Senator Bernier suggested. But I think it's still at risk. And we had an opportunity here, like I said earlier, to really take on the funding formula that no one can say is working for the state of Wisconsin and rural Wisconsin particularly. And I think we're really missing the boat by not making that happen. We also, again, have an opportunity, I think, to connect everyone with broadband. And these are the two topics that I mentioned already. But we can't miss that opportunity either. We've got to make it happen. And then, of course, healthcare. And for some reason, we just can't seem to get the politics out of the way of accepting that federal money into Wisconsin for Medicaid expansion and making life easier for so many families. But we'll keep trying.
Well, we'll talk about education funding and broadband expansion plans a little bit later in the program, but right now I want to talk about tax cuts. That's one of the facets of the budget that we've seen make a lot of headlines. There's going to be perhaps a $3.4 billion tax cut. That's because the state is experiencing a surplus in revenue. The plan is to lower income, property, and personal property taxes. Senator Bernier, how do you see these tax cuts affecting taxpayers here in western Wisconsin?
Well, as we know, the more money we save the taxpayers, they can make decisions on their own as to where to spend it. We had an additional $5 billion in revenue that was unexpected. It was also unexpected by the federal government, who set the regulations on the federal funds that came into the state, which created quite a challenge in the budget process. So they had a certain portion of what we spent had to meet the maintenance of effort, which is differently defined in the federal government. So for every dollar we spent on increasing Medicaid reimbursement or any other aspect, transportation, we were expected to spend 78 cents on education, which wasn't even feasibly possible. So that is what Senator Smith was referring to. It was a challenge, to say the least. So I think the taxpayers on the $3.4 billion tax reduction, we still spent nearly $2 billion more on our priorities. As I mentioned, Medicaid reimbursement rates in nursing homes and personal care workers, which we have a significant shortage. We invested lots of money into those programs.
Senator Bernier, I'm wondering, you said it wasn't feasibly possible to spend more on education. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. So the maintenance of effort requirement from the federal government was assuming that our revenues were going to be flat and we were not able to spend more on other things. And so when the federal funds came in for education, my district received $83,795,000 in just the school districts that I have. In addition, we were to spend at least 78 cents for every dollar that we spent on Medicaid expansion, transportation, broadband. And we managed to do that by segregating funds and various other mechanisms to meet that memorandum. That requirement. But the fact of the matter is that those rules, and we still are expecting the federal government to step back a moment and say, make some changes to those requirements. So it was difficult to meet the expectations, for sure. As we know, with every federal dollar, there are always strings attached. that controls states' options.
Senator Smith, I want to give you a chance to respond. What are the Democrats' reservations about this plan? Wouldn't people in your district benefit from lower taxes?
So what the end is has done is, first of all, they scrapped the governor's budget proposal that would have made Wisconsin's tax system more equitable and targeted relief to seniors and working families. And what the Republicans have now proposed is actually tax benefits for the wealthiest 25% of the state. And I'd say people who make more than $1 million a year don't need another tax break. Now, when it comes to this, the education funding plan or scheme, I would say, is they're funneling this money, the tax break, through the schools without the schools being able to spend that money in the classroom. And thus, all we're doing is continuing this unfortunate system we have that forces school districts into referendums. And as I've heard our incoming superintendent say before, which I really truly agree with, every referendum that passes makes the system even more inequitable, because some school district voters can afford a referendum, others can't. And so we keep seeing some school districts get ahead of others, and that's totally unfair. We should change the system. We had an opportunity to do that, but instead they've chosen to leave the schools flat, to keep the caps on the schools, and to instead move this money through the schools to cut taxes, thinking that they're going to possibly buy votes for the next election.
This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our legislative update today with State Senators Kathy Bernier and Senator Jeff Smith. What questions do you have for your representatives? You can call at 800-228-5615 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Senator Smith and Senator Bernier, you're both on the Senate Committee on Education, and our conversation has kind of been going that way. Governor Evers recommended increasing school funding by $1.6 billion over 2 years, which would be the largest boost they've ever received. But Republicans are advocating to keep spending flat. They point to the billions of dollars in federal relief funds that are earmarked for Wisconsin schools over the next several years. Senator Smith, if Wisconsin is receiving billions of dollars in federal relief funds, why the need to increase funding from the state?
Well, just remember that it's a one-time money coming into the state, and it's relief money. It's not meant, it's meant to help school districts and our communities recover from the past year, because there was a great impact. On our school districts as well as our communities throughout, this wasn't meant to fix our funding formula or to do the things that we need to do for in the long run of our funding. So it's not the way to go about this. Let's be happy that we can get this funding from the feds, but let's fix this formula for the future. And we have this opportunity this year. I know I keep hammering that point, but it's true.
How you keep talking about fixing this formula, briefly, like what are your ideas for fixing that?
Well, we first incredibly antiquated system of being based on property values in the school district or in the state, and that just has definitely crippled many school districts who have lake properties and other things that have skewed the values, skewed the on paper what their school district wealth may be. We have a system where we have put caps on our school districts and not trusted our school elected school boards to make decisions based on the needs of a school district. We need to fix that. We need to remove that cap. We need to trust elected officials locally to make decisions that they know are best for their own district. And I have been preaching that for a long time, and I wish that our state legislators would quit quit preaching that they believe in local control, and then actually their actions prove otherwise. So those are a couple of important things, and it's actually a very complicated formula, and it takes a little bit more explanation of how the funding formula does not work for most school districts. It's very inequitable. In some districts, they might get $11,000 or $12,000 per student, while others might get less than $1,000 per student from the state based on their property values and how they might look on paper. And it's just not working.
Senator Bernier, how does the current school spending plan impact schools in your district?
Well, it would be foolish not to take into account the federal funds. We have $2.1 billion in the rainy day fund now. I have an ending balance with $364 million. So we are going into the next biennium, a budget cycle, in very good shape. And so when we need to fund school districts with more in the next biennium, that's the next budget process. But it would be foolish to give school districts so much money that they would have a huge slush fund. So it makes sense to increase it. We increased it $128 million, focusing on special education and high-cost transportation. But just as an example, just federal funds, Eau Claire School District will be receiving $20 million, Chippewa Falls, $8.2 million, which is $1,681 per student. Eau Claire will be receiving $1,830 per student, more than what they currently had in their budget. That's an outstanding amount of money, more than the state has ever been able to increase their funding in the first place. We did increase the funding, but we took into account how much money is coming in. Granted, $14,576 per student, very similar to what the Milwaukee area schools are receiving. We didn't set the rules at the state on how to divide out the federal funds. It is inequitable, for sure. But the fact of the matter is, the rules were set by the federal government on the federal funds into education. So we are situated well for the future in education funding, but the education funding for this biennium is as fair and equitable as we could create it in the state budget process.
It's our legislative update here on the West Side with State Senator Kathy Bernier and State Senator Jeff Smith. What issue is top of mind for you? You can join our conversation by calling 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. Or by emailing ideas at WPR.org. I'm Clara Neipert, and this is the West Side on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11, it's Larry Mueller. Mulch is an important tool for preserving moisture, keeping down weeds, and protecting plants in the winter. Larry talks about the pros and cons of different types of organic mulch. That's Larry Mueller at 11. Next week at this time, join Shireen Seward from Route 51 for a discussion on a new therapy technique that could make the state's youth prisons safer and more effective at rehabilitating juvenile offenders. Shireen welcomes Ron Hermes from the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and Dr. Leslie Baird Chapin, a clinical psychologist. It all happens Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network. This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our legislative update today with State Senator Kathy Bernier and Jeff Smith. What questions do you have for your representatives? You can call us at 800-228-5615 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We're continuing our conversation about funding for education. Senator Kathy Bernier, I wanted to ask you, school administrators have told WPR that the federal funds can only be used on certain expenses and they run out after a set period. That means that the money can't support longer-term reoccurring costs like teacher and staff salaries or expanding mental health programming. Senator Bernier, how do you address that concern?
My understanding, they have quite the latitude with those funds. I won't comment necessarily specifically on what they can use the money for, but it can be used through 2024. I'm sure they'll have plenty of time to utilize those dollars on specifics. And free up other dollars to use elsewhere. I've spoken to administrators as well. Interestingly, they all have a little different of a perspective. I guess I can't comment on their comments. I didn't hear them.
Senator Smith, what do you see from school district administrators in the 31st district? What do you hear from them?
Yeah, I have heard them, and that's exactly what my point was. Probably not well stated earlier about this is not a long-term fix with the federal funding, and it doesn't cover their daily classroom expenses. And so, why the Republicans think that they should be able to fall back on federal funding? And it's interesting that they want to fall back on this federal funding when, by the way, they all signed a letter telling our congressional delegate to vote against it, and then also will not accept the Medicaid expansion money from federal funds because, they don't like federal funds. And it goes on and on. But once that money's coming in, they think that they should expect our school districts to survive on these federal funds, which again, as you stated, there are strings attached, meaning they are targeted, they are specific for certain needs and not for all of the costs and budgeting that a school district has.
Wisconsin's election process garnered a lot of national attention after last year's election season. Wisconsin certified its November election results, and former President Trump's defeat was upheld after lawsuits and recounts in Milwaukee and Dane counties. This Tuesday, the Assembly voted to take up several bills that would change the process of requesting and returning absentee ballots. The measure already passed the state Senate on a voice vote. So, Wisconsin voters are currently required to request an absentee ballot in writing, but there are no standard guidelines on what the request should look like. Another bill that passed the legislature would task the Wisconsin Elections Commission with issuing application guidelines and require all absentee voters to include a copy of their ID with every written ballot request. It would also require that applicants be separate documents from absentee ballot envelopes and prevent local clerks or the Elections Commission from sending absentee ballots to anyone that hasn't requested one. Senator Bernier, you're on the State Committee on Elections, Election Process Reforms, and Ethics. How do you see these bills impacting your constituents?
Well, there's a number of them that came through. That were actually good bills and hit the target regarding, for example, the Democracy in the Park in Madison that raised eyebrows. Now a bill came through that allows for that, but only during the early voting process. Much of what we've passed had to do with dealing with the anomalies in the different processes and procedures, such as drop boxes. We didn't have a law that allowed for them, or what criteria was set for them. So that's something we did. I didn't agree with a couple of the different bills. One bill allows the state of Wisconsin to take third-party funding. It came back from the assembly. It passed the Senate, not allowing third-party funding. I believe it's a function of government to run elections and having the perception of it being influenced by an outside party is not a good thing. It came back from the assembly allowing for it through the Wisconsin Election Commission, and I voted against that bill. I voted against SB 204 because there were provisions in there that I don't think allowed for those who are disabled well enough, as well as the procedure for requesting an absentee if you're a snowbird, if you're a truck driver. You travel a lot. It only allowed you to request absentee ballots twice a year instead of just once a year. And it had a provision that if you didn't return the primary ballot, you would not receive a April ballot or a November ballot if you missed a primary. And a lot of people won't know that. And so I thought it was arbitrary provision, and so I voted no on that bill. But with special voting deputies, I voted in favor of that to allow nursing home staff to be trained to take an oath and to run the election if the nursing home is unable to accommodate special voting deputies. And SB 205 was, I had a hand in a lot of that drafting, so that was a good bill, and I voted in favor of that.
You were Chippewa County's clerk for years, and opponents of this bill say it might make it harder for people to cast vote. Senator Bernier, what's your response to that?
I guess SB 204, I agree with that. It was more difficult. I redrafted at SB 206, met with the disability community on that. It's not that, but to be clear, it is not that it needs to be more difficult. The processes and procedures need to be more clear. There's no law that allows your request for absentee to be written on the affidavit, the envelope. That envelope is sealed in a bag and is not public record for 22 months unless there is a request for a recount. So your request for absentee is actually sealed with the envelopes in bags that have to be held as for a certain period of time. That is why I was not in favor of putting your request for absentee on the actual ballot envelope. However, there is a process now coming through on Monday Count, as well as the AVEO a process. It's an absentee voter option where you can cast your ballot directly into the machine during the in-person absentee early voting process. That would be helpful for those municipalities that wanted to cut those corners. So it's not harder, it's just more clear as to what the processes are and are not, and it helps the Wisconsin Election Commission to make decisions with a more clear direction from the legislature. We put them in a very bad spot when we don't have a law that addresses drop boxes or Democracy in the Park or many of the other the ballot envelopes. There was never clear direction from the legislature whether that could be done or not. And it also interferes with the ability to verify the absentee request when it's in an envelope inside of a bag.
Senator Smith, you're also on the Senate Committee on Elections, Election Process and Reform and Ethics. And I want to ask you the same question that I asked Senator Bernier. How would changing the process of requesting and returning absentee ballots impact your constituents?
We just probably need to remind people, apparently, that we had a pandemic last year. I didn't think I'd have to remind people of that. We're still probably in the throes of a pandemic. And when that occurred, thank goodness we had election officials who figured out the best ways to safely allow people to vote. But that was something apparently like as Senator Bernier keeps bringing up the park idea in Dane County, which only the officials from the clerk's office handled ballots. They were, this was a very well-run idea, great idea, so people didn't have to come into a building during the throes of a pandemic and take a risk of getting sick. They were able to come to a park and do this on Saturday. Now, there's a lot of us, including me, by the way, who think people should have more opportunities to vote rather than just a very narrow window to begin with. And This whole idea is, which is clear, I think, to anybody across the country, with all of the sudden interest in changing election law is based on the idea that there was some sort of errors in last year's results, just because their president didn't win. That's the big lie that Donald Trump keeps alive, and I'm really disappointed that our legislators that I work with on the Republican side continue to keep that alive as well. But it's that simmering group of people who attacked our Capitol on January 6th and are going to boil over again at some point. They're just trying to keep that alive and keep them angry and frustrated and believe that the elections are tainted. And that is so dangerous to our democracy. It is so dangerous because the clerks and the poll workers in this country do an amazing job, and the system works that we have currently. Unfortunately, there are things we could fix. We could make it easier to be registered. It should be something that is automatic. Should be making it easier for people to have a ballot in their hands and have time to study it and to drop it off in a box like several states do now. We could be doing that here in Wisconsin and all across this country. And it is not dangerous. And you know, you look at the city of Eau Claire, how they ran it with 2 weeks before the election with drive-by, drop off your ballot. That was incredible. They did a great job. And I commend all of our municipal clerks and all the volunteers that came out and worked and made sure that people had the opportunity to vote during a terrible year where there was risk of getting sick by showing up with a lot of people in one place. So to suddenly go after nursing homes and elderly and disabled and the idea of who can get an absentee ballot and who can't and how it should be done. And in fact, what you're asking disabled people in some of these bills is to have to reapply every year. And if they happen to miss one election, because they could probably miss a special election that they didn't know was happening, they will not get their next ballot for the general election. They may not be ready for that. Don't expect that, and they won't vote. So there's a lot of problems with these bills and mostly though that they aren't necessary. They are an attack on our system and a risk to our democracy that we as we know it. Instead, let's pay attention to what do we do to make our democracy stronger? How do we make it fairer? Let's have redistricting reform, for instance, so that the legislators themselves are not drawing their own districts and picking their own voters, and then make sure that everybody has a fair chance to get to the polls and know who is on the ballot and how they're voting.
This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's our legislative update today with State Senators Kathy Bernier and Senator Jeff Smith. What questions do you have for your representatives? You can call us at 800-228-5615 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Senator Smith, you mentioned that some had distrust in our election process. I'm wondering, how do you think we can improve trust in the process?
It starts with leadership. And we as elected officials themselves are leaders. I mean, it's interesting how persons that were on the ballot last fall think that somehow it was tainted. Well, does that mean that their election was tainted? But they only want to talk about the very top of the ticket, which was the presidential election. But we need to, as elected officials, verify to all of our citizens that the system works, that there isn't fraud. What did they find out of 3 million ballot cast in Wisconsin? There were 30 potential fraud, and half of those were actually P.O. box that people didn't understand that they had to put their home address down and they weren't even prosecuted. So no threat to the election at all because the system does work. And Senator Bernier knows very well how it works because of her own experience. That there is the week after the election, you know, they canvass the votes again. I mean, it was volunteers and clerks who do that in every municipality, in every county. This is a system that works, and to try to make it more difficult for people to vote is really disappointing, upsetting, and concerning for our future.
I want to give Senator Bernier a chance to respond to this question too. Senator Bernier, how do you think that we can improve people's trust in our election process?
Well, you know, I will challenge Senator Smith a little bit on the hyperbole, which he's got down pat, by the way, we aren't trying to challenge anything in nursing homes. The bill was to make it easier and more accommodating for those who live in assisted living and nursing home facilities. Should they not have the special voting deputies there to help them? So, this is what the problem was on the front end after the election, is we have partisans with the hyperbole and the accusations and the mistrust. It may be a little different between Democrats and Republicans, but that is exactly what it is. So the distrust was sown. I was asked the other day on a phone call, do I believe there's voter fraud? The answer is yes, there always is. There's always a little bit. Should we turn the other way and not have any rules at all? Or should we just make sure that we have processes and procedures in place to deter fraud? Now, we haven't gotten the ERIC interstate registration information done quite yet. And that may give us additional information about interstate issues. We had somebody from southern U.S. try to vote up in Hayward. He was caught on the front end. But the fact of the matter is we have to have policies and procedures in place that deter voter fraud. We don't open up the gates and let everybody do whatever they want when they want. But we do have to provide the information for those who are uninformed as what the process is and what the checks and balances are in place. We need to do that. And so currently, the Independent Legislative Audit Bureau is auditing various aspects of the 2020 election to verify what happened, when it happened, how it happened, and if there were any issues in the process between voter registration, the electronic equipment, and etc. And so we will be getting that report as it is completed, and that will help verify to those that are suspect of the system if we have any issues or if everything went as planned. And that is what we're doing.
Evers has the power to veto the bills that move through the legislature, and he's indicated that he will veto any plan that he thinks makes it harder to vote. That's the voice of Senator Kathy Bernier. And along with us today is also Senator Jeff Smith. We're on the topic of politics today on the West Side. You're invited to weigh into the topic by calling 800-228-5615, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Again, that number is 800-228-5615. I'm Claire Neipert on the West Side. This is the Ideas Network. Spectrum West is back on July 8th at 10 a.m. on this station. Join Al Ross as he shares fascinating interviews with the most interesting people serving the arts, culture, and humanities of Western Wisconsin. That's Spectrum West, Thursday at 10 on this station. Next week at this time, join Shireen Seward from Route 51 for a discussion on a new therapy technique that could make the state's youth prisons safer and more effective at rehabilitating juvenile offenders. Shireen welcomes Ron Hermes from the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and Dr. Leslie Baird Chapin, a clinical psychologist. It all happens Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network. I want to turn now to take a question from one of our callers. I'm going to welcome to the show Tim from Bloomer. Tim, you're on the air. Tim?
The nursing homes sounds, on the surface to me, a pretty good thing to do. So thanks. The other thing is, I spent the weekend with the county clerk. She reported that there was...
Tim, can you repeat your question? We didn't quite catch the first half.
I didn't have a question. I had a comment.
Okay. Can you repeat your comment, please?
Can you hear me?
Try one more time.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead. Tim, we aren't hearing you, but I can see a note from one of our producers. You had a comment about voter fraud, and he spent a weekend with a county clerk who reported that there was one case of voter fraud. Kathy Bernier, I'm going to direct that question to you. Since you are a county clerk, how in your job, how prevalent, how often did you see voter fraud?
Probably two or three times that I'm aware of. So you have to bear in mind the only way that you're going to be able to figure out voter fraud specifically is to go through every single name, every single address. There were a couple of Eau Claire County Republicans that did that with the poll lists in Eau Claire some years ago and found that there were a good number of people that were not located at the address that was on the list, and et cetera. So with that said, you would have to actively look for it on the poll list, verify the addresses, and that sort of thing. Aside from that, there were several cases that I had to investigate as a county clerk. I agree, from all I can see, is that it's minimal. But like I said, it is not the number of cases that we have. The processes and procedures need to be set up to deter it and not encourage it. And so we have the checks and balances. I mean, I had somebody tell me what would keep me from shoving 30 ballots into the ballot box. I said, well, number one, the ballots have timing marks and they have to be very specific to the machine. And you can't just make copies of them. But let's say you did.
Oh, Senator Bernier.
Access to the machine.
Go ahead. You had a pause.
Access to the machine is one of the deterrents. In addition to, every ballot is initialed by two poll workers. If it's not initialed, it is a fraudulent ballot. So there are all the checks and balances in place that many people don't even realize and think that you can, like the old days, stuff the ballot box. It doesn't work that way anymore.
I want to take another caller question. Welcome, Patricia from Chetek. You're on air.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to change the subject a little bit to the budget procedure and the tax cuts that's being proposed. I guess I'm not in favor of that. I'm in the lower income group, and I will get like $32 or $36 back in tax cuts. And I look at our roads, and I look at our school system. I look at the computers that are needed for the unemployment benefits, and so many things we need that tax cut should not happen. And it's towards the more wealthier end to begin with. So I just don't see why we have to have a tax cut. I know that's not popular, but look at our surroundings. We need that money.
Thank you, Patricia. Senator Bernier, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to this one, too. What do you say to people who say that this tax cut benefits the people at the top of the income bracket instead of more toward the lower end?
We have a constitutional responsibility to balance our budget and return back additional taxes that we did not count on. That is a constitutional provision in the Wisconsin Constitution. We did spend out of that $5 billion windfall, we spent $1.6 billion to put in more money into transportation and to put it spend as wisely as we could. But we returned $3.4 billion back to the taxpayers that we didn't have to spend. And if we spent the entire $5 billion, that would encumber us in the next biennium and the biennium after, not only with the expenditures, but the additional increases that's always expected of spending in government. So it is wise and prudent to reduce the taxes for the second income bracket. What is being said now is not true. It's not for the wealthy. It starts at $25,000 per year in the second bracket. You wealthy people are taxed on the first bracket, then they're taxed on the second bracket, then they're taxed on the third, and then the fourth. So they do get a bit of a benefit from that. That's how our system is set up. But the biggest benefactors are middle income households and the second bracket. And they are the ones that are going to save the most, about $500 a year. And then we also did property tax relief as well. And those, I believe, is about $5,000 annually on the median home. And so the benefit is going to be the middle income earners, and they are the ones that pay the majority of the taxes.
Senator Smith, I want to give you a chance to respond to this caller's question as well. What do you say to people who think that maybe this tax cut benefits higher income earners instead of lower earners?
Yeah, I have to Senator Bernier, I think, but nowhere in the Constitution does it say that we have an obligation to return money to taxpayers. The Constitution does not say return money to the taxpayers. It's a balanced budget amendment we have in the Constitution, but it doesn't say return money to the taxpayers. I want to make that clear. And maybe it isn't what you intended to say, that, but that's the way it came out. My response to the caller is I agree. What's $30 to a person when in fact it could be invested in your road or invested into connecting people with broadband or making sure that your school district is properly funded and every student has what they need to expand their knowledge. So it's an investment, and we need to understand that when you invest in your state and your community, we all benefit. It's unfortunate that the word tax has become a dirty word. Maybe we should be calling them premiums, like the insurance companies get away with saying. But we somehow got to understand that $30 is getting back is not anywhere near going to benefit someone as much as it would be if it were being invested back into your schools or your roads.
I want to turn now to a quick address of how we're kind of moving out of the pandemic. And I want to know very briefly from each of you, Senator Bernier, what is your hope for your constituents as we kind of move into our new normal?
To get back to normal. And most people are. I've been out and about. People are traveling. People are moving around. And you see smiles on people's faces. And, you know, I'm looking forward to a 2-week road trip coming up in July. And I think most our folks are just really pleased that we're getting back to normal. Ever slowly but surely.
What about you, Senator Smith? A couple seconds of an answer, please.
Yeah, everyone's tired of the new one, but because we don't know what that'll be. But we're all very excited. It's great to be able to hug your friends and your family again and to have opportunities. We're going to a wedding this weekend. We haven't been able to do that for a long time. So it feels good.
Thank you so much for joining us for our legislative update today on the West Side. Thank you to our guests, State Senator Jeff Smith and Senator Kathleen Bernier. Rick Ryer and Keely Boltina helped produce today's program. Kate Springer is our on-air producer. Next week on the West Side, we'll play an episode from Route 51 about a new therapy technique called DBT. It all happens next Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network. Have a great weekend. I'm Clara Neipert. This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio.